The NBC Olympics site is one of the most ambitious projects on the web, and certainly one of the largest applications done with Silverlight today. 2,200 hours plus of video, live commentary, and the design requirement of appealing to the whole Olympics audience. Today we have Eric Schmidt with us, and he's going to talk to us about the process of creating the site, as well as give us a look at what the site looks like.
Sure.
So thanks for coming today, Eric.
Sure, thanks for having me.
Yeah. So this is an awesome application, and let's take a look.
Sure. Yeah, so I guess the first things that we can jump into is kind of just make sure everyone understands kind of what we're doing. So we kicked off a project with NBC last fall, and this was really a joint partnership between NBC and MSN on the MSN side. And then we came in to help deliver the video content for the Olympics. So what NBC is doing this year for the Beijing Olympics is they're going to broadcast nearly every minute of every sport. There's certain sports that won't, but nearly every minute of every sport live from Beijing. And we'll bring that video content back to the United States and then push that over a CDN network. And users can walk up and watch video. Pretty much anything that they'd like to see. And then we'll also be delivering that same content in rewind format. So the Beijing Olympics will be happening most, depending on your sleeping patterns, most of the people will be sleeping. So what, we're 14 hours ahead here in Pacific time. So that live content will then get pushed to rewind. And then we'll also have encore content, which will come from the NBC television production, like high quality Bob Costas, really slick transitions, etc. And then also highlights. So if you just want to look at highlights reels. So at the end of the day, there's going to be thousands and thousands of hours worth of programming out there. I think we did the stats, like if you made watching the content your full-time job, it would take you about a year and a half or something if you just came into work. And the other interesting thing is that since we're seeing all the sports, like you'll be able to see stuff that no one has ever, you know, been able to see before, like the second round of the ping pong playoffs, or this year BMX is now an official Olympic event. I used to be a BMX racer, so this is pretty cool for me. So just being able to access, and then also being able to get access to all kind of additional like meta content. So we have interviews with a player or with a lot of the athletes. You can go in and find out who they are. So there's tons and tons of content. If you're a sports junkie, if you're in the Olympics, it's not probably going to get any better than this in terms of content. So we kicked the project off last fall with NBC. I guess probably the first thing we'll talk about is just kind of the design process. So in late fall, kind of midwinter, we had a couple of meetings and did the traditional kind of what do we want to get out of the experience, what do we want it to look like, and build a bunch of wireframes on whiteboard, lots of whiteboards. Took that content. We actually worked with an agency to help us build out the site, which is a schematic. They've worked with us on some other projects, and they do really good work. So we pulled in both some of their design horsepower as well as their developer horsepower. We took those wireframes and then quickly got them over into a Visual Studio, Blend, XAML, C# development environment. And what you see on the screen here, this is really a shell. You know, this video window itself is the Silverlight application, and we plug into a much broader web infrastructure. So this content that's around here is HTML, DHTML. That's being blended in with the Silverlight site. So that was also part of the process. Is basically how do we take all the Silverlight, the Silverlight real estate and integrate it and let it coexist with NBC's content management system and their metadata.
And that should actually be pretty easy to do with the big HTML integration available with Silverlight, right? It's just all JavaScript and HTML.
So the app itself, the majority of all the functionality is written in C#, and we compile that down and that gets delivered, but we communicate to the browser through scriptable methods and properties so that you can communicate in and out. So if they're saying a pause on the video player, we pause the video player inside the Silverlight app, but we also raise an event back out to the hosting environment. So, you know, if an ad needs to get served or some metrics need to be tracked or whatever it is, there's that seamless coexistence between between the player. The other thing that we had to do too is we also have a fallback environment. So if for some reason you can't install or don't want to install Silverlight to watch, you can fall back to Windows Media Player. So you don't get all the features that we'll talk about, but that was another design requirement. It's like, well, okay, we actually have to have one kind of common look and feel and one development model at the script and HTML level.
Right.
So how do we do that, but then also plug in something that's much more rich like the Silverlight application?
Okay.
So, you know, so we worked through those wireframes, and then we went into Visual Studio Blend XAML mode, and then really started iterating a lot in the late winter and early spring. And come April, we had a fairly locked design, other than kind of fit and finish, like gradients and what should transitions and animations look like. But having that fundamental design in XAML, and then a lot of the animation kind of ripped out and then abstracted in code, really sped up the process, because then we were like, hey, you know, we don't like the way that looks. Great, going back in the XAML, change it, or maybe we need to change the timing. So the process was definitely much more efficient than, you know, to kind of typically in the past doing some type of, you know, rich DHTML.
So being able to make, you know, to really componentize it using managed code really made it a lot easier. Very cool.
And we'll talk a little bit more at the technical level about how we did this, but in the that pop-up player that I just showed, that's kind of the, you're in, let me go back to it, we call it standard player. So in standard player mode, you basically have the video window and surrounded by athlete information that's synchronized in most cases to what you're seeing. Trivia and related video, it's kind of like, we, you know, we're doing this to drive dwell time. And then you can come go over here and search into the video. So let's search for BMX and see if anything comes up. So great, there's the BMX trials. So just go and click on that, and we'll go out and just grab the next video. Here you see a an ad. So you know, that was another part of this project to make sure that Silverlight itself could integrate with different ad networks. In this case, it's DoubleClick. So we're serving a lot of pre-roll ads, and then we synchronize that to these companion ads, which are Flash. So we also had to do that synchronization between Silverlight, you know, out to Flash, and make sure that that was all working correctly.
Very cool.
So in standard player, you get this view, and then in enhanced player, you basically go, you blow up, and we get into 16:9 if we have 16:9 source.
So now this looks different, because you were kind of talking through the timeline, and you mentioned April, and then after that was, or before that, I guess, was the mix.
Exactly.
You know, that was like the big, really kind of coming out party for this, where everybody was like, oh my gosh, did you see that site? So, but it looks like you've gone through some iteration here with new design, or it just looks a little bit different.
So, I mean, some of the subtleties, like we took this, the little remote control before it was kind of embedded into the window a little bit, and we pushed it out to the left and put this gradient in here so it pops out a little bit. We made a lot more heavier use of iconography to kind of simplify. I kind of use the, if my mom can use it, you know, litmus test, and that's important. So you can kind of look at it and say, well, okay, that's, it looks like a runner, so you can click on Olympic sports, and we just visually show, you know, like my mom doesn't have very good eyesight, so for her it's like, does that say basketball, or does that look like a basketball player? These are all the standard Olympic graphics that are kind of branded everywhere, and you'll see them on the Olympic feeds. This was kind of cool. We took these and we converted them to XAML, so they cleanly,
so you can scale them.
Yeah, they scale and cleanly render.
Okay.
So that was, you know, that was a couple of decisions. I think at Mix we showed this kind of spatial map of, of sports, and it was really, really cool. But the feedback we got is it's really cool, but it's kind of complicated. And then it was also really complicated to implement. So
we're
like, do we really want to take the risk to basically build this super hard feature that a lot of people, unless you're really, really into design layout, they're like, I just want to go find the sport that I'm looking for. I don't need the spatial map for it.
Well, that's what I think is really interesting about this project, is sometimes you get the luxury of appealing to like one audience, but this is really the whole Olympic audience, which, as you mentioned, ranges from your mom to like my son. You know, just, you really have to appeal to everybody. So this is really cool to see.
Cool. Yeah. So I guess we can walk through some of the features, and I'll start talking about them. So the one feature that we talked about at Mix that I don't think we demoed, we just showed a screenshot of it, was this concept of live video control room. So so during live events, if you're going to stay up at 3 or 4 in the morning, you'll be able to go in and basically pick from this pick list over here This will be filled out more, but you'll be able to pick a main video, and that'll drop over to here. We're just getting these kind of static feeds right now out of Beijing because nothing's happening live.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can drop in videos 2, 3, and 4. You'll be able to drop them over here.
Okay.
So from a Silverlight perspective, we did a lot of work to make sure that the media element in this case could handle, you know, basically the footprint of trying to render, you know, four different video elements at the same time.
Sure.
Make sure that we weren't putting too much stress on the CPU.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really kind of an industry first. A lot of people have talked about this, like, hey, we want to do multi video
window,
both for streaming and for on demand.
And here it is.
Here it is. Awesome. So I can't wait, you know, till next week until we kick this thing off.
Yeah, and it just is filled with content, I'm sure.
And then, of course, we at Mix, we talked about this whole concept of swap. So you can basically swap in and out from these windows over here.
Uh-huh.
And then once you're in, if you're in live video control room, you can just go back to the main screen as well.
Sure.
Which is kind of cool. Talked about Olympic sports. The other thing we showed at Mix was this concept of pip. So you can, anytime you're in a particular clip, you can go back out and you find something you can watch in it pip. One of the design changes we made was you can actually move the pip around.
Okay.
You know, this is kind of a subtle thing to find. It has a really cool animation. But we did this just in case, like, well, maybe you're watching a game and the score happens to be in a certain area, or it's over someone's face.
Yeah.
You can kind of move it around, or you may have preferences. Some people are, you know, left quadrant dominant or white quadrant dominant.
So like picture in picture, it's funny because it definitely everybody was like, wow, did you see that?
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny because it's kind of like a simple concept.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's another thing that I haven't seen before.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it's pretty easy to do with Silverlight with the way the media element is so customizable. So.
Yeah, we had to do some work to make sure that the switch was smooth.
Yeah.
So we had to go out and basically look at, well, we need to kind of swap out the source, one source, you know, source to the other, and we basically just have a base class that does that. So you could saw it here, like, I'll go ahead and swap again. We buffer a little bit, and then we come back, and it's a very, very smooth experience.
Well, I think, you know, we talked a little bit before this, and you had mentioned some of the work that you've done to really focus on the media experience as far as buffering and and tracking how it's acting. So what all do you have going on there?
Yeah, so there's kind of two things to understand at a technical level.
Mm-hmm.
We're delivering video in two different ways. One, we're delivering live streaming over Windows Media Services.
Mm-hmm.
So you basically kind of get a fixed stream size, depending on your bandwidth. So most of them will be 650K streams.
Okay.
So you start watching the video, and as long as you have enough bandwidth to watch that, you know, you're okay. But it's the internet, things happen.
Right.
You know, your kid may be upstairs watching the Xbox, playing Xbox Live, or there just may be some saturation in your area. So we do a lot of work to make sure that, hey, if you start buffering, we show that to you. If you drop connections, we try to reconnect.
Uh-huh.
So we did the work that we've seen this a lot. People, especially new people that get into Flash and or Silverlight development, they just throw a video player on the page and set its source, and then they think everything's going to just work. Well, you know, it turns out that the internet is great, but it's not the most resilient infrastructure on the planet. So, so for live, you know, we basically, you know, check to see if you're, you know, we have some buffering heuristics in there to notify if there's problems. And then for this other piece that we talked about at Mix, we called, I think, adaptive streaming at the time. And we'll have more information about that as we get through the Olympics. But we are basically delivering video over HTTP, these kind of smaller pieces of video, and then they get re-rendered. And you can see here, like, one of the impacts of that is I can seamlessly click back and forth in the video, because all we do is just go back and request that particular kind of area in this virtual stream. So versus, you know, if it's live, obviously you can't fast forward. You know, if so it's a progressive download scenario and you didn't have the video, you'd have to sit there and buffer until you get to it. Well, in this implementation, you can just basically go straight to that in the time.
Wow.
So we did a lot of work. So you saw it there just for a second.
Yeah.
It said, hey, I was trying to go find something. But
okay.
Yeah.
So that was, I mean, a lot of that was custom code that you were talking about, and yeah, within the Silverlight application.
Yeah, it's not too much code, but mm-hmm. I think it comes down to being intentional. So we were very intentional about what do we want the user experience to look like. So obviously, if you drop a connection or if you start to buffer, we just don't want the screen to freeze while you're buffering. Or if you buffer for too long, we don't want you to sit there and buffer for 5 minutes and not know what's happening, because users will get upset and just walk away.
Yeah,
which has happened. We've all been on those applications where we see that happen, and
definitely.
Like, this is garbage. So.
What is it? It's like 5 seconds or something, the attention span? I don't even know if it's five.
Man,
it's
if it's five, I'd be happy.
yeah, exactly. So it's 1.6 seconds or something.
People but with Olympics content, and also at the scale, my personal feeling is people will be, they'll be pretty tolerant. Like, they want to watch this, and they know that we know we're going to have a lot of traffic.
Mm-hmm. Especially if they can rewind it. Right.
Yeah. So the next day, sure, that you can rewind. And one of the things that I can't, well, maybe I can show you, but there isn't any live commentary right now, and we didn't have it for this. But in this video window, what you'll be able to do is basically pop up and see live what's happening. So maybe you're kind of multitasking at work. Uh-huh. You can sit there; it'll scroll through.
So like play-by-play.
Play-by-play, yeah. And then whenever we go into rewind mode, uh-huh. so say you are watching at work, it wasn't live, you can click on those comments, and it'll take you right back to that particular instance in the video.
Wow.
So it's like TiVo or DVR taken to the next level. It's like contextualized, fast-forward
and
rewind.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. And that was another thing that we worked on was we have this commentary coming out of Beijing,
mm-hmm.
and then we have to get that metadata synchronized to the video, so we're using the media element as well to basically look at some timestamp information.
Okay.
We pull that off and then synchronize the metadata that's coming from Beijing and then layer it into the window.
Wow.
It just turns out that there's enough latency between Beijing to backhaul all the way to the U.S. and get it to the client that we stay in sync really well, and then there's some heuristics if we're out of sync that we kind of we sync back up. But I think that'll be really interesting for people, because then, like, I watch a lot of basketball, especially March Madness.
Yeah,
I'm like, what just happened? Like, how? Why do they?
Yes.
Where do they
why
turn the ball?
Why is everybody cheering right now? Yeah, that happens to me too.
Yeah.
Wow. And
another thing that we did is we made heavily use of dispatch timers.
Uh-huh.
Let me get onto another piece of video here, because this is kind of let's just go ahead and watch this guy.
Right.
We made heavy use of dispatch timers. So since there are multiple things happening in the application, we're rendering video, we're sending updates to statistics about tracking, and this is what NBC is doing.
Uh-huh.
We have to serve ads. We use the dispatch timers a lot to basically check the health. So, are we buffering? If we're buffering for so long, we go ahead and make a decision.
Okay.
And if the video has been played for so many minutes, we go ahead and call and say, I'll go update this tracking information. And just an interesting use of the dispatch timer. So instead of just having one, we have a bunch of multiple watchers, and we've checked.
That's an interesting scenario, because it's a client. The whole application is running on the client, and you're trying to stay in sync in all these different avenues. I'd love to see the flow diagram for all these dispatcher timers going off that just say, if this, then do this, else this.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah, no, and it's like, that's exactly what the code looks like.
Okay.
We also used the background worker, which is a new class that we put in Silverlight to make it easy to basically call, spin up a new thread and call methods asynchronously. And we do that as well, just so we're not blocking, like, video. We need to make sure that the UI thread is the priority, and we're not hogging up any or blocking on any threads in the background. So the new background worker object's really, really cool.
Yeah.
We also use a little bit of WCF on the back end for some services that we built, so that was nice, because those natively in Silverlight, you can call methods off of WCF asynchronously, so we're not blocking.
Definitely. So it sounds like using Silverlight was a great advantage for building the website.
Yeah, I've worked on a lot of big projects and a lot of video projects, and like you said in the beginning, this was very, very ambitious, both in terms of the design plus the amount of content and the integration work. And I think I know the difference, having worked through this and working with the team. I don't know if we could have pulled it off without Silverlight. And I'm not talking from a graciousness, but just having managed code and being able to write this complex threading, being able to rely on the robustness of the media element. I don't know if we could have pulled it off, to be honest with you. The Windows Media Player implementation is really rock solid. It's good for streaming, but whenever you get into this multi-picture view, and you start seeing it as a commentary. This commentary, it becomes very difficult, and it's really a testament that Silverlight 2 is ready for prime time, and next week, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, great. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for stopping by, Eric.
Sure. Thanks, man.
All right.
Take care.